4 NUE Mobile.
KO4NUE. How are you doing, bud?
Good, getting off work now. How are you, Jay?
A house. Had this gooseneck full of stuff, and I got it loaded all wrong, so it's going to be just a bumpy ride all the way home.
How's that?
I try sometimes. I just been on the struggle bus all day today. I just can't seem to get it together.
What you mean? I went to work this morning and I couldn't get nothing together. And finally, right before lunchtime, I started hitting my stride. But man, I was struggling. I wanted to go back home.
Well, I got this gooseneck full of equipment. And it's, boy, it sure is heavy. And I got most of it up on the trucks on where the gooseneck is up front. And I know better. But I just kind of had to. The stuff's so big. I just ain't much I can do with it, really.
Oh.
I believe it's a 17 by 40 lathe. And a 9 by 30 Bridgeport. And a 20-ton press, I think.
What all that?
Paint shop down at the house. I've got a lot of bigger stuff down there down at the house, and I got it up at Chris's. He's just wanting to ship some things around a little bit, so I told him I'd come up here and get it, and I'll use it a little while, then he'll use it a little while. we just kind of move it around from each other to each other when we need it.
Some furniture, that's some heavy stuff right there.
Got it. It is heavy. It is heavy. But I got the brakes is good on the trailer, and trucks, you get it loaded right, it's not that bad. It's just, I just hate it when it beats you to death like this.
Never had to tow. I've done weight distribution hitches and everything else, but not a gooseneck or whatever the other fitting is that you can go.
Me and Dad built the gooseneck, I don't know, probably 20 years ago, 30 foot, and I've been using it 20 years, I guess, and hadn't had first bit of trouble out of it. Well, I take that back. Last year, the rear axle shifted to the left about 2 inches, so I had to get in there and straighten that out. But other than that, I mean, it's been a good trailer. It hauls good. You just gotta get it, get all everything distributed right on it. If you get it off just a little bit, it just beats you to death.
Saying that is where I feel when I pull my travel trailer. I don't sense the sway controller down. Man, that ain't gonna get it going on you. You just got to pull over and adjust it. I don't think that's an option you got with that heavy equipment.
I wish what I'd have done was put a shifting axle trunnion for both of the axles. That way I could just pull two pins and shift the trailers up underneath the axles up underneath the trailer. But I don't know. We kind of got in a hurry, I guess, and decided not to. But that sure would pay off now.
Hey, hindsight's 2020.
So, what else you been up to today besides work? Is that about it?
That is all it. Got up at 5 this morning, go to work. Now I'm 5 o'clock, headed for the house. Trying to fight this traffic on I-85. It looks like it's a mess right now.
It's always a mess. I can't ever get it where it's right. It's always just hurry up and wait, or some kind of parking lot, just sit and wait, and I don't travel on it unless I absolutely have to.
Do the same. I always got the back way open, but long as northbound looks good, I'll usually go that way, but yeah, southbound's looking pretty bad right now, right? right at 101.
It's standing still or is it moving?
Coming out and getting off 101, and that's being backed up. But I don't really see anything wrong with the interstate. Maybe just everybody's getting off of that exit today. Who knows?
Well, I got 58 miles, I think, before I get to the house, and then get the Bobcat out and try to get this stuff off the trailer, I guess. But I'm going to struggle with it. Dad's little Bobcat's not quite big enough for some of this stuff, and just makes it a pain to get it off.
I can't help you with that one. Something I ain't ever doing.
What do they do where you work down there, Andrew?
Assembly at BMW. So I used to be on the line, but I moved up now. So I'm a manager. So in my area, the main parts they put on are the dash and the headliner. Those are the two big things we install, and then it's kind of little parts. Kind of round it out.
Does the plant, do they have a maintenance section that, maintains the plant, or do they just subcontract all that out?
That's department thing, all the TPM and whatnot for the big equipment and the line itself, all the pushers that drive it and whatnot. They do contract out some of the workers, but it's still run by BMW, and they have BMW employees mixed in with it.
They have a full-blown shop, or is it just, machine shop, welders, things like that, or is it just primarily, keeping hydraulics and electrical up?
Some areas that have access to that type of equipment, I don't know how much they'll do, but, I mean, they can usually fix certain things, but then there's some limitations to it, but, yeah, I mean, they'll bust out the welders and stuff if they have to, but usually that means we're going to be down a while. So, but for the most part, they try to fix stuff they can during the week just to keep the line running, and then they try to fix everything on big on the weekends or holiday.
Well, I noticed, it's been some time ago, I guess. Does BMW, do they have any solar, or is it all on the grid?
The plant itself does not have any solar. The little horseshoe building out in front of the plant, they like to show off their solar panels. They sit right next to I-85, so all those go to the little Zentral Museum that you see from the interstate. It looks like a horseshoe.
Did I see? Well, I was, you ride by there, you can see the solar panels, and then you see kind of how big the plant is behind it, and it not just doesn't add up, you know what I mean?
I don't even think I'd put a dent in the power the plant uses, but I think it runs a decent amount of that, like I said, the museum out there. I don't know what all they use it for, but they usually talk about projects like that. I'm sure they've told us at one point in time, but I probably chose not to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, what you got planned this weekend?
I don't know. I know we've got my oldest nephew, one of my nephew's birthday parties, I guess. My mom's cooking lasagna for him, so we're going to go up there and enjoy that for his birthday. He's turning 20, so that's going to be fun. I always look forward to mama's cooking, so that's going to be real good. And other than that, I don't know. Hopefully it'll be a nice weekend. Maybe I can get out and fly my plane a little bit.
What plane you got?
Little remote control airplane. I call it little. It's 40-something inches wide. So, I mean, it's a decent size, but it's a good starter plane. That way I can decide whether I like it or not and give me another expensive hobby to buy into.
I know. it's one hobby after another. it gets expensive pretty quick. Machine tools, and then got it moved into ham radio, and then welding machines, and just everything that comes with the shop. It's just expensive, everything. And here here in the past year or so, it's just, my gosh, man, it's got where you can't afford anything.
Don't pick and choose what you buy. I got a bunch of woodworking equipment. You know, nothing super fancy, but, you know, I've got the planers and the chop saws and whatnot. I've got, you know, a decent amount of stuff out in the building. I'll tinker with that. And of course, I picked up ham radios, but that's another expensive hobby. And now I'm looking at airplanes. And like I said, started with something that's a decent price. But, man, they get expensive quick if you start shopping.
I've never tried was RC stuff. My uncle, he was a ham radio operator. N40B was his call, and he was big into remote control airplanes. And him and his, well, both of his sons, and they'd come up to the house there where the cotton field used to be, and they'd fly them things all day. And inevitably, they'd, you know, crash three or four of them during the day. And I used to love to go up there and watch him fly those things. And I really liked to see them when they crashed, you know. It's just break into a thousand little bitty pieces.
Hey, I used to do the exact same thing with my dad. We'd go to not the Milliken Park that's kind of in the middle of Spartanburg, but there used to be a place headed towards Packlet that guys would get out and fly their airplanes. We'd always go watch them, and of course we'd go to the airport and watch those planes. But yeah, every once in a while you'd see a bad wreck. I don't know if they made them out of foam back then at all like mine is, but man, that balsa wood and whatnot, when it hit something, it just went all to pieces. And you feel sorry for the guys, but at the end of the day, it is kind of cool to watch as long as it ain't yours. Oh, man, KO4CF.
Friend UE, so Uncle Jim, the one that was the ham guy, he was bad to get out there with some, you know, he drank a little bit too much, but he'd get out there and had a little bit too much to drink, and he'd fly pretty good for a little while, but the longer the day went on, the worse he got. But I remember one day he had this little toolbox, little carry-on toolbox he carried, you know, like a carpenter's box, and it had, you know, gasoline and these whatnots in it. Well, he had this little old battery with this electric motor starter looking thing. That's what he started airplanes with. He'd stick it on the nose of the prop and hit that little button, and it'd spin it over and start it up. Well, one day he had a little bit too much to drink and started the doggone airplane up, and wasn't holding it or something. Had the servo set wrong or something, and it lurched forward when he started the thing up and got his hand, that old wooden prop, got his hand. Oh, man, it just, he was that quick, and it just tore his fingers all to pieces. I never will forget that.
I think that'd be something you'd forget.
And that was the end of his flying that day. It took him several weeks to get over it. It stitches, and I think he may even broke a bone. I don't know, but he had one big old airplane. I don't know what that thing was, but it was huge. I forget what he called it, but it looked like there's no way that thing's gonna fly. But it did. It flew like a dream. It was his. I don't know. It had sentimental values for something, if I remember. But big old silver, fat looking thing. Looked like a blimp with wings. I don't know what it was, but he loved to get out there and fly that thing. It didn't go very fast, but he enjoyed it, and I always enjoyed watching him fly too.
Don't go ahead of you, eh? 40 minutes.
Okay. You gonna need me in 40. Need to do some testing in 40 minutes.
KO4VWA. Yes, sir. I just curious as to where you're going to be in about 40 minutes. How far out are you from your QTH?
Oh, I'd say probably about 45 minutes.
Hold on, I may try to hit you before you get home.
I go the long way, too.
No, don't take any chances with that big a load. I've been listening in, bud. You be careful with that big a load now. I'll get this done. We'll get it done. Just don't take no chances. Slip that thing on. Try to catch it before you get there. Carry 4 VWA, clear.
About 45 minutes on your trip home. It's going to be fun.
It's Highway 11. It makes me so mad every time I get on it. It is the worst highway. I wish Greenville County would do something about this thing. There's spots on it where I have to slow down to about 10, 15 miles an hour. It's so bad. And they won't fix it. They just come out here and just patch it and don't take any foundation out from under when they patch it. They just add patch on top of patch. And the next thing you know, you got about 5 miles of speed bumps.
KO4 HKX.
Hey, bud, how was your day?
It's not over yet, but I'm so far so good. But yeah, that Highway 11, oh Lord, that thing will beat you to death.
But they definitely got this name, Henry Patch McMaster.
Go ahead, comment.
KO4 PXB, KO4 NUE. Chad, does that remind you of the tank trails in Graffenbeer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just asphalt on top of asphalt.
The big potholes or the big ruts in there, man, there's some of those, and you're running those, even though you're doing 35 miles an hour and you hit it with a tank, you better be holding on.
Patrick, somebody pick it up.
And they patch all the roads and just keep the guys busy until they actually want to do some work.
News for you, there, Chad. KN4 CHY. Finished resurfacing this end of 11 down at the interstate. So you could probably look forward to that end getting done in, I don't know, 2040 or so.
If it gets any worse, you're going to need something with a track vehicle to get down it. Because right there between 276 and, what is that, little old Devil's place that turns off at Devil's Fort, it's bad. I mean, really bad. And it's about the only way I can get to the house. I probably could do 414, but it's... There's little back roads I just can't do on these, you know, with the gooseneck and all, but for a scenic highway, I'm not understanding how, you know, there's a lot of traffic on 11, and it, you know, it connects a lot of towns together, and you'd think it being such a busy highway and bringing so much commerce into town, you know, from town to town, that they'd try to do a little better to get it, you know, straightened out. But it just, they won't do anything with it. I'm thinking about writing them a letter.
Yep, right there at the bridges, right after 276, you better hang on.
This end at 85 is people would get off the ramp. The ramp's in nice shape, and then you get down to the highway, and it's like you were saying, it's just patch on top of patch. But yeah, here in just the last couple of weeks, they repaved it. They'll probably stop there. I don't know if they'll go any farther than that. So, somebody else pick it up.
Right there before the bridge, where the bridge is not level, that one will jar your teeth in a minute.
That I like was telling Andrew, with all this weight on this gooseneck, it's just it just makes me draw up in the seat, you know. And I can't help it. It's four or five people behind me now, and you know, I'm just gonna go as fast as I'm comfortable. I got a lot of weight on this thing, and it just makes it miserable, and I just. I wish they'd do something with it.
Side, though. I mean, you get roads like that, and it really, it'll let you know if you got something loose on your vehicle. So, your muffler's halfway hanging off, it'll go ahead and finish it off for you.
I try to keep that under control. I have been some times in the past I've had some stuff fall off, but I got a little bit newer truck. I won't have to worry about that. But it just, like I said, it you're right. If you don't have stuff tightened down, it's Highway 11 is gonna knock it off.
North of 11 ain't much better.
The grade into right after North Carolina, right at before you get to North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know that is bad.
Y'all trying to key up the repeater? A couple times today while I've been listening, I just wondered what's going on.
But, KO4NUE.
I don't know, I double-clicked the mic. I don't know if I transmitted both times or not. KO4CEF.
SpaceX. Now, it was longer than that, Andrew. It's like somebody's just holding the mic down and trying to talk, but you're not getting any of it.
I'll listen out for it and see if I can hear it, because I haven't been in the truck for 20 minutes, but I hadn't heard it yet, so... And then, of course, it'll happen while I'm talking. I pulled in the driveway, so I'm going to say 7-3 to you. Y'all be safe out there on the road. Chag, good luck with that gooseneck. And have fun, getting your alignment while you're going down the road. So, anyway, y'all have a good one. 7-3-KO4-CEF, and I'll be clear on y'all's final.
Have a good night, sir. KO4-NUE, I'll be clear.
KO4HX, and I'll be monitoring for a little bit. QE and KO4HX, what you moving out there, Chad?
I believe it's a Kiriseki 17 by 40 lathe and a Bridgeport 20 ton press.
You just got some nice size equipment out there on that trailer then.
Yeah, I do. And that stuff is so misshapen, you kind of have to just load it the best way you can. And I got a little bit too much weight up on the truck. And it just beats you to death. But I'm doing it. I'm not happy about it, but I'm doing it.
And I know what you mean. I've been there, done that, and it makes for a long ride, no matter how short it is.
Just that, this old stuff, its center of gravity's just difficult to predict. It's top heavy, and just there's nothing about it. It's fun.
We were talking; these nice, smooth roads don't help any either.
This is what aggravates me so bad. Is it, you get, when you get on past Highway 11, where 276 comes in, for, I don't know, 15 or 20 miles, they don't mind putting 6 foot of asphalt on either side of the road so the bicycles can go, you know, go down the highway. And let me add, they won't use it, but they'll spend $2 million putting 6 foot of asphalt on either side of Highway 11, but they won't do nothing about the highway. What kind of sense does that make?
They're not politicians. They don't make sense.
Don't get me started on that. It's just, I just wish they'd do something with it, because it just makes it for a miserable drive, you know. I mean, just miserable.
I drive a section of Highway 11 and 276 there every week. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What you got planned this weekend?
My business meeting Saturday morning, but other than that, not much of anything. Try to pull my coax through my pipe I put down last week, so get that done. But I didn't want to tear the station down and not be able to get it put back together like this past weekend.
Yeah, that is a pain when you hang on. Mercy. That, you know, there's a bump. Never mind. Let's just talk about something else.
I know what you mean. Tearing the station down and getting it put back together, I got to take it down, and then, like I said, I got to drop that antenna down and do something with it.
Tell me again what the problem, what the deal is.
Thing of red, and I can find, and where we mounted that beam to the mast is basically cutting the beam in half because the beam or the mast is metallic.
Omni on top of the beam, then?
No, talking about the beam mounted to the mast of the antenna. The antenna is mounted to the mast. Where it mounts on is, remember, it's halfway through the beam, and it cuts it in half because of that.
Talking about the aluminum pole that goes through the center of the beam up to the Omni, right?
The aluminum pole that we made the mast out of, since they're metallic, they interfere with that beam. It needs to be offset, from what I understand, about a quarter to half wavelength.
Okay. All right, well. Lord have mercy. Just let me know when you get ready.
I got to get the offset for it first. I've been trying to find one that's in stock so that I could order it.
UE, have you talked with DTY lately?
I talked to him earlier today. He was supposed to be working, but he was playing on the radio.
I see.
Doing some editing. Him and Dave come on here trying to heckle me, and I told them that neither one needed to quit their day jobs.
What about?
I can remember now. They said something about being comedians on TV, and I said, well, neither one of you can qualify for that. I've seen both of you, so don't quit your day job. It's a good thing we're working on radio personalities here.
So it right back at them, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the way you gotta do.
You know how that DTY is. You gotta get him.
2, 3. Just don't stop. Just keep throwing them out. Make him shake his head a little bit.
Howdy. But, Chad, I'm gonna step out here for a minute. I gotta drop this scanner off for the customer, and then I'll be back. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for a moment.
I'll see you in a little bit. KO4NUE standing by.
For NUE, this is WDRON. Over.
WN, KO4NUE. Hey, Ed, how are you today, sir?
A bunch of sorting out. I'm working on the shelf over my desk to put more equipment on. I'm using the Yagi. I've got pointed about 65 degrees or so. It's not exactly toward where I think the repeater is, but it seems to get a better signal this way. How's my signal coming into you?
I did a little bit of bacon fry on there, but you are 100% copyable. You know, not too bad.
Down to 20 watts, that seemed to be taking out the buzz that was some people were telling me I had. So I'm still playing with the power supply to see how that does. The power supply puts out a constant 13.8, so I figure that's pretty good.
The signal you had the other night, I've never heard anything like that. I'm not sure exactly what it was. You were copyable, but the longer you transmitted, the worse it got. But it was a definite oscillation to it, but I don't know what that was.
Get up to 40 watts and see what happens.
You now?
See now.
KO4NUE, KO4HKX, you still there?
Roger that. KO4NUE. Go ahead, Patrick.
Watching this bicycle break the law over in the turning lane going straight. Just runs right through the red light.
I don't see, they got to be brave, you know, because that just seems really dangerous to me.
There, you want to come up to around the house on Saturday or Sunday. It's crazy, the bicycle is up there. And there's another word that comes to mind.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a couple of years ago. There was a bicyclist right in front of Steve's house. Car hit him and killed him right there on the road. I don't see how people do it. And they get mad at you. I mean they'll wave their hands at you or give you old dirty look, and I'm just thinking this truck's a big truck. You gonna sit there and talk trash on a bicycle?
Come up to the house one day on a weekend in the summertime. Y'all ain't got a bicycle problem down here.
But there's no way I would do it. I mean, I could go to the high school track or something, but there ain't no way I'd get on any road, back road or anything, on a bicycle. No way.
There. I don't know about you, but as a kid, I was always taught not to play in the road.
Yeah. Well, so after you get the coax run through the PVC, what else you gonna do in the ham shack? You gonna make any changes there, or you about got it where you want it?
I'm gonna rearrange the room, where that desk is against the wall, where the door is at. I'm going to move it over closer to the window and probably shorten those cables up just a little bit and run some high flex in there so it'll be easier to deal with coming in the house. So I'll put me a junction box outside.
Yeah, that's that LMR's pretty doggone stiff. It makes it difficult to work with in a tight spot, you know.
And I think it'll be better around, all the way around if I do that. So that's the plan, because I was talking to the builder last night, and it looks like it's going to be next year before we really get moving on the house. Everything's so far behind, and just can't get this, so it's going to be a while.
It's an expensive, too. My goodness, I'd say you'd pay probably two or three times what, 2 years ago.
And this is a buddy of mine doing this, okay? So he's cutting me a little bit of a break. He's talking $260 is about as cheap a square foot as he can get.
Yep.
A 1,000 square foot, that's $260.
Yeah, so how big are you looking at building the house? Is that 1,000 square foot?
No, along 30 by 50, so 1,500, 1,800, somewhere in there.
Gotcha. Well, when we built our house, I want to say it was $46 a square foot. I believe that's what it was.
I don't know. You look at house prices up where I live and down here, there's a pretty big difference in them if you start comparing apples to apples. And, man, I tell you, it's just crazy how much it's gone up in the last 2 years.
I remember when Dad built a house. Him and a friend of his built it stick by stick. There's some 2x4s up in the attic, for the roof structure, that's got a purple ink on it that says 33 cents each.
Couldn't get for that again.
So, I don't think we'll ever see those days again.
I don't think so either. But I've got got plenty of trees on there. I thought about contacting you with about the sawmill.
So the way that works is if you're going to do that, which you can, one of two things have to happen. One is you'll have to hire a grader to come out to the property, and he will have to grade the lumber, because the grade of the lumber determines the span of the lumber. So when you see that little blue ink stamp on a 2x4 or the barcode, not blue anymore, it's black, that's the grader's stamp, and that grade of lumber determines, you know, how far the builder can span with it, or the, you know, the distance between, you know, support structures. So the codes department of Spartanburg County, they're pretty bad about it. If they suspect that you've got a sawmill, or if they see, you know, wood that's not quite right, they'll call you out on it in a minute. And then they have to change the span structure with the builder, and that just it just makes things more difficult.
Codes, brothers. Some of the insurance companies will not insure your home anymore if it is lumber that has not come through a certification process.
You're exactly right. So when we build our house, I've got two sawmills on the property, but back then I just had the one. But anyway, we went round and round with Spartanburg County, and her brother was an architect, and he designed the house, and we submitted plans to the, you know, Spartanburg County, and they weren't gonna have it. We had to change. We had to change the engineering structure of the house because we were going to use, you know, lumber off of the property. Which meant a lot more lumber. And, you know, when you're standing at that mill all day, that's a lot of work. So Pacific to find out. I was going to go get my grading license so I could grade, you know, my own lumber and just shut Spartanburg County up. But it's like a 2 or 3 year process to, you know, it's kind of an apprentice kind of deal, you know. You get some training and then you go work out in the mill with, you know, an inspector, and you got to go through an apprenticeship to get your certification. And that just, I didn't have time for that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just as bad up around the house. They won't even let you use lumber. It's not, it don't come off your property. You can't use it.
Well, Granddaddy's house up on the hill, it was built in 1926. He cut the every stick of that property was cut off of, you know, was cut off of the farm. And it's still there. I mean, I don't see what the problem is, but, you know, I do understand what they're saying, because if you can't accept every board that comes through the mill, you just can't do it, especially if it goes through a drying process. So you lose about 10% of the lumber at the mill that you plan on using, and then when it goes through the drying process, you're going to lose another 20 or 25 when you get all the moisture out of it, because it's just, you know, it's going to buck and bend and everything else. So there's a lot more to it. I understand where they're coming from, but it just, you know, just makes things a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I get that. And like I said, I don't know which way we're going to go yet. I talked to him last night for about an hour, trying to figure it out what to do, which way is the best way to go.
The man probably could save a little bit of money using LVL. That's a little cheaper, not much. But I just, you know, lumber's just absolutely out the roof. Chris needed some 8x8s a couple weeks ago for a project we're doing up here on the home place. And I tell you, it's just kind of nice to, you know, get sawmill and just say, okay, well, you know, there it is, there's the tree right there. And then, you know, just take Bobcat and lay it on the mill, and then maybe about an hour later you got, you know, a couple $100 worth of lumber. That is nice, but it's a lot of work, too. It really is.
Sure. Ain't nothing worth having easy anymore.
It's the quality of the wood, you know, because when you're at the mill, you can be choosy. You pick the best part of the tree, or you can pick the tree and get the best grain out of it where it's going to be, you know, kind of the strongest. But Chris cleared the property for his brother to build a house up there last year. And we cut a big red oak down, and when we cut it off of the stump to take it down to the mill, it had I think it was 160 years old, and I just, you know, that's kind of neat, really, to have something that, you know, Mother Nature blows over in a storm, or, you know, it's damaged, or you just have to cut out of the way. You can take it down there and drop it to mill and say, hey, this is, you know, I won't get what I, this is what I want out of it. That's kind of neat.
That it is. Work the wood and get what you want out of it, or what it will yield out of it, instead of having to just take what you can get.
Cousin lives, he owns a tree trimming business, so he's got a 5 acres up here that, right across from Chris's, and he brings all this tree trimming stuff up to the lot and burns it once a year. So, you know, I don't have to cut anything down, really. I just go over, okay, I'll take that one and that one and that one and load it on the trailer and, you know, there you go. So that just makes it a whole lot easier. And there's some nice wood comes through there, too. Last year we got some really nice cedar, a couple of pieces of walnut, red oak, white oak, and wild cherry. So, I don't care too much for cutting cedar, though. That stuff's kind of dangerous. It'll hurt you in a heartbeat.
Wearing apart?
The sap in cedar is, how do I word it? It's not poisonous. It's corrosive. And that sawmill is not a round blade, it's a bandsaw, and so the kerf, when the sawdust comes out, it's real fine. So that stuff blows around all over the place, and it gets in your eyes, and you don't realize it until nighttime comes. And when nighttime comes, boy, I'm telling you, I don't know about others, but I pay the price. It just burns so bad. So I try not to cut it if I can, and if I am, I try to be careful as I can, keep my eyes clean, but it's just, it's really painful.
After that, I just trying to figure out why it was dangerous, but yeah, I get that now.
A piece of sawdust in there, a big enough hunk, and, you know, sometimes you can get stuff in your eye, and it just lay there and not bother you. But it'll continue to leach out in your eye, and boy, it'll put a sore on your eye. It's not cool. What I normally do is take a pair of pantyhose. I bring some pantyhose with me, and put the pantyhose over the discharge chute on the mill, and that collects, you know, all of the all of the shavings. And then I'll just bundle those up like a sausage, you know, and then throw them in your dresser or throw them in your closet. Makes your undergarments smell good, makes your closet smell good, and it keeps the sawdust down, too.
Get rid of bugs, too.
K2RCL, he put me in touch with a guy several months ago. Him and his wife had a leftover cedar log, 12 by 12 cedar post. It's 8-10 feet long, left over from some kind of project, and she's wanting it cut into a mantle. So the husband called and said, got your number from a friend of mine, and you know, we'll know if you can cut this mantle for me. Bring it on out. Now, we'll take a look at it and we'll decide, you know, what the best thing to do. And I said, but when you come, bring a pair of your wife's pantyhose when you come. And he said, what? I said, bring a pair of pantyhose, your wife's pantyhose when you come, because the sawdust is so bad that I need to, you know, put the pantyhose over the discharge chute to keep it from getting in my eyes, and you can take sawdust and put it in your closet. So he just cackled, but, you know, that's about the only way I can do it. It tears me up so bad.
Chad, I just crossed the state line, so I'm going to lose the repeater here pretty quick. You're pretty close to the house and can make it on in. So I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3s for now. K04HKX, and I'll be clear on your final. Have a good day.
The Briar Patch. So 73s, Patrick, you have a good day, and I'll be safe. I'll talk at you later. K4VWA, you still in there, Steve? UE, no contact. I'm clear.
VN4ZLK.
Hey, Shane, how you doing, bud? You doing all right today?
And good night, Patrick, if you can hear me. I was listening to your story there, and I started before you finished the first version of your getting a pair of pantyhose. I was already imagining you with them over your face like you were going to rob a bank or something, but trying to protect yourself from the shavings. I wasn't even thinking the other way.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. The goggles are just too hot in the summertime. But what ends up happening, though, is this: it normally doesn't get in my eyes. What happens, it gets in my hair on top of my head. And then when I get in the truck or I go home or sit down in a chair, you know, you run your fingers through your hair, and that's when it gets you. That's when it bothers me the most, is when I'm stationary, you know.
All feeder logs I had cut up, but they had been sitting for a while, so they were really dry. Boy, that was a very messed up.
Well, I get people all the time, hey, you know, I cut down these cedar trees in the backyard, and I got these pines and oak, and this, and, you know, cut them out of the backyard. I don't cut anything out of a backyard. It's just, it costs too much money to deal with that. You know, trees in the backyard, people, kids will drive nails in them, or, you know, fence wire, or bullets. You wouldn't believe the bullets I've cut into, where people, you know, step out on the back porch and just shoot into the tree or whatnot. But I don't do anything out of a backyard. It's just too dirty.
If it's turn here, I'll be back. I had a big white oak that fell a few years ago, and I got that milled up. I got a lot of lumber under the house, and I got several pieces in the garage that I'm trying to acclimate even better. I've got a few projects in mind. then I had a pine tree that fell, or well, it didn't fall, it was dying. It was about 10, 11 inches around, and I dropped that, and we were counting the rings on that. There were over 60 rings on the pine tree that small. And I tell you what, it's a solid pine. I cut some posts out of that one.
Well, we've built two barns. Most of the furniture in the house I built off of, you know, trees that's come off of family property and all. And like I said, you can be picky about it. You can, you know, well, this is the best part of the tree, or this is the prettiest part of it, and you can be selective. But I cut down to, I think, 3/16 of an inch thick if I wanted to, up to, you know, 28 inches thick, too. It's you know, you cut whatever you want.
Yep. And I love watching that wood come out, too. You take that old log and you put it on there, and then you watch the lumber that comes out of it. It's just nothing like it. And I was listening to you earlier about the inspection, the grinder and all that. And I understand, you know, kind of regulations. That to me, like the lumber lobby, you know, pushing for some of this legislation, so that you're almost forced to buy lumber from them, commercially produced. Because some of this stuff that comes off of your private property, I would imagine, is in better shape and probably stronger than some of this really quick growth stuff.
Yeah, you just have to, you know, you have to, there's a lot to it. You learn by trial and error. Let me put it that way. Trees that have a twist in it, you know, you can see the bark that kind of runs in a twist. You just stay away from that, because that just turns into a nightmare real quick. So you learn real quick what you can, you know, what's good to cut and what's not.
Magazines, read articles in there, and it's pretty cool the way they talk about the old boat builders would walk through woods looking for that tree with that particular crook in it, so they could use it for a knee, you know, in a boat they were building. Just they would look for all kinds of features that they could use right in their boat.
Yeah, so you do any woodworking?
I play at it. How about that? I've made a couple little things, nothing big. I have the idea that it's going to be another one of my hobbies, but sometimes ham radio gets in the way or something else. But I enjoy it. I used to sell tools. I actually like hand tools. I like the idea of a hand tool. I've got a few, and I'm learning them and working with them, and it's just, you know, it's a slow process, but I enjoy it.
KN4BWA. Shane, if you ever need a wood lathe or you need to turn some wood, just give me a holler, bud. I got it.
Steve.
In the air, Chadrick.
Roger that. If Steve, you let me, give me a few minutes, let me disconnect this gooseneck, and we'll go out and do a little bit of testing. But Shane, I'm pulling up in the yard now, so it'll be probably about 10-15 minutes. But Shane's gonna let you know when you get ready to, you know, get a big project or something. Give me a holler. I cut some black walnut, I don't know, probably 10-15 years ago. It's been sitting up there in the barn. I don't know how much of it's up there, but if you want a beautiful piece, beautiful wood to start with, just give me a holler. I got so much of it up there. It'd make a beautiful project, and I'd love to see somebody do something with it.
I will definitely put that in the back of my head and take you up on that when I'm ready. And I'm going to jump out and get the trailer swapped out. So you guys carry on. Enjoyed it. Good to talk to you. N4ZLK.
KO4NUE. Steve, let me get this gooseneck disconnected, and I'll be right back with you. It's going to take me just a little bit, though.
Take your time. Take about 30, 40 minutes to do it. Be safe about it. And I've got to take my son-in-law down here to the building and get him set up. get him up on my lift where he can change some oil. So I'll be monitoring.
Roger that. KO4 NUE, I'm clear.